on the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield. This is the Justin Hutson Coaches Show, brought to you by California Business Machines, by Madera Auto Center, Suncrest Bank, The Elbow Room, Barrier Roofing, A-plus Signs, by Mega Prints, and by Fashion Furniture across from River Park. Live from the Elbow Room, this is the Justin Hutson Coaches Show. Now, here is your host, the voice of the Bulldogs, Paul Leffler.
The Coach Justin Hutson Show. We're coming to you live from Riley's Brew Pub in Clovis. We're here till 7 o'clock tonight. We have some tickets to give away. We have three pairs of Fresno State basketball tickets against Cal Wednesday night, 7 o'clock at the Save Mart Center. The Cal Bears are going to be here. We're going to talk about that tonight with Coach Hutson. But if you want to go to that game and you don't have your tickets yet, come out to Riley's. We're at 168 and the Temperance exit. You exit Temperance, go north, and you will find Riley's Brew Pub, where they've got a fantastic menu. And right now, a whole bunch of Bulldog fans in the house and the Lakers-Rockets game on TV if you want to keep tabs on that. So, Coach Justin Hutson here for the next hour with us. Coach, 7-2 out of the gate, and we've talked about it. Those two losses, I think, impressed a lot of people as well. And now, 10 off days before you play a game against Cal, between when you played Long Beach State and this game against Cal. What are you guys working on? What's the emphasis, and how much time do you actually have with your team since it's finals and everything?
We took Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday off, let them get ready for finals. And then we've had two hard practices today and yesterday, and the emphasis is just get better. You know, we're really making an emphasis on defensive end, but it's coming into practice saying we're not going to do the same thing we've done before. We're going to watch film, we're going to correct our mistakes, and we're going to come out and get better. And the guys have been working pretty hard with them having the finals and studying and doing stuff like that. You're always trying to get their attention early and making sure they're focused. So a lot of it is defensive based.
Well, and the defense has been pretty impressive. I just heard Christopher Gabriel talking about the game where you held Weber State to 52 points. Played some pretty solid defense for most of the game against Long Beach State, too, in a really fast-paced game. And I was impressed with your team's effort that last time out against Long Beach State, because 24 hours before, you're losing your best player, Deshaun Taylor, for who knows how long when he dislocates his elbow. And I've seen teams in that circumstance before, whether it be football or basketball or baseball, when you lose such a huge piece of what you do, and it's not just the points, it's not just the assists. I mean, the defense Deshaun plays has probably been his most valuable asset the last couple of years. So 24 hours later, you're taking the floor without that guy, yet I didn't see a letdown in play. You guys were just as effective. You were just as efficient. You were prolific, put over 90 points on the board. And I didn't see a letdown defensively, and I didn't see that emotional burden that sometimes you see in a situation like that. So I'm trying to figure out why. What'd you guys do to be able to get that team focused, not distracted, and to execute the way they did?
The credit goes to the young man. I mean, it was a very emotional day, the day he fell down and hurt himself. You know, it was at the start of practice, so we still had some ways to go.
Right.
Nobody really wanted to practice anymore. We
sure.
Kind of eased off the gas a little bit, and we worked on a few things, and, you know, and I understood it was a very emotional day for us. And then we came back the next day, and it was the day before the game. And, you know, we worked on a few things again, but we didn't want to get anybody else hurt. And all the credit goes to the guys because they really stepped up, you know, that from the very start, Nate's play.
Mm-hmm.
From the very start of keeping the ball out of the post and finishing inside to Noah's steadiness to Braxton being an all-around player. He not only did he score points, he defended really well. And you can go on and on. To Sam's leadership, he got in foul trouble, but he still contributed a lot to Aguirre's activity.
Yeah.
You know, New stepped up and hit some big shots. You know, Johnny gave us some good minutes off the bench. Laz and Christian Gray gave us some good minutes off the bench. So it was a total team effort, but it just shows to their maturity that they were ready to play. They were still confident that we could get the job done, you know, and we took care of business.
You did. You've been taking care of a lot of a business. This is Coach Justin Hutson. We're at Riley's Brew Pub in Clovis till 7 o'clock. His Bulldogs 7-2 out of the gate, and they still have three home games remaining on this home stretch before they enter conference play January 2nd. They're home Wednesday night against Cal. That's a 7 o'clock tip. Then they have a game the Saturday before Christmas and the Saturday after Christmas. Plenty of time for you to get a taste of Bulldog basketball. And I see a few people have entered to win tickets out here at Riley's Brew Pub. If you want to win tickets, we have three pairs to give away tonight. Come write your name down, drop it in the hat. And while you're here, write down a question for Coach Hudson. Or if you're not here, send it our way on Twitter with the hashtag AskHut. About as simple as you get there. Just six letters after the pound sign. Hashtag AskHut, H-U-T. Speaking of AskHut, I got to ride the elevator up after the game the other night with your dad, the original Coach Hut. And I could tell how proud he was of the way your team played. And you know, we talked about what we just talked about just now, the curveball of having your best player go out the day before the game. And I was thinking as I talked to him, that I needed to spend some more time talking to you about your background, things you learned from him, what kind of player you were, who you patterned your game after. As this fan base gets to know you, I figured I could get to know you a little bit on that as well. So what was it growing up, what was it like growing up the son of a coach down in Bakersfield?
Learned a lot. You know, I was at a lot of basketball practice, a lot of basketball games. He was a single father also, so everything was about basketball, especially wintertime. So this time of year when you have the holidays, you know, sometimes you talk to the parents, and they always say, wow, you only get a couple days off for Christmas. Oh, okay, you got to play on Thanksgiving. And that's really been my life since I was born. So I've always been involved with basketball. So Christmas and Thanksgiving has always been basketball. And I was blessed to have such a good father.
Well, and there's the cliche of, you know, you sleep with a ball under your arm, you dribble it everywhere you go, you shoot 500 free throws a day. We've heard all those stories. Which ones of those played into your development in the game?
You know, I was a cerebral player. I could pass the basketball. You know, I didn't learn how to really work at my game, shooting and dribbling and moves until I got older. But I was always around the game, and since I was a typical coach's son who was always around the game, always in the locker room, so I was a pretty cerebral player, and I was a point guard that could get other guys involved. I was nowhere near as good as the guys I'm coaching, but I can pass the ball better than a lot of them.
Well, I bet, and that never leaves you. Whether you're slow or fast or anywhere in between, if you know how to pass, you can always pass. So did you ever have to dial any of the leadership back as a player because you started sounding too much like a coach because you were around it all the time?
No, not too much. You know, when I played basketball in high school, I had some really good athletes on my team who were leaders in their own right. So I just led by example, and it wasn't a whole lot of talking, and we all had a lot of mutual respect. So it wasn't a guy that I was out there telling everybody what to do. I just kind of knew what to do myself, and guys understood that, and we pointed guys in the right directions. But I played with some really good athletes, guys that played Division I football and Division I basketball, so I had a pretty good team.
Well, and I'm just imagining, knowing the era in which you grew up, I'm picturing who might have been your favorite players or who you might have tried to pattern your game after. But let's hear from you. I'm sure we've got some folks out here in this crowd that are Laker fans, that were Celtic fans. Maybe like me, you're a Golden State Warrior fan and cut your hair like Chris Mullin so you could hope to shoot like him. But who was it? Who was your guy that you loved to watch in the NBA?
I don't want to get in trouble because my dad was a Laker fan.
Yeah.
And I wasn't. I was a 76er fan. I liked Dr. J. And
then
I kind of moved over and really liked Isaiah Thomas. He was my favorite player for the Pistons. He was small. He wore number 11, so I tried to wear number 11 when I played.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I patterned my game after him, but I sure did enjoy watching him play.
Yeah, well, that's pretty special. I still have a Dr. J poster somewhere. I think it's rolled up in my garage or someone. But that was a great era of basketball in the NBA. So Isaiah was your guy.
Isaiah was my guy. I had the big poster, full-size poster. When those things run out that much, you know, I had it in the room, and I watched every Piston game I could have.
Did you practice the move where he throws it up under his left arm, catches it, and then finishes?
I did practice that in the front yard. I wasn't as athletic as he was, obviously, so it didn't always work.
It's funny how one move like that a guy does one time, and it sticks with him through the years. All right, so we're learning a little bit about you. And I think we've talked about this before, that you didn't grow up saying, hey, I'm going to coach, I want to be a coach, I want to be a Division I head coach. When along the journey did you start to get that sense, hey, this is something that I could be really good at?
I just knew it was something I enjoyed. You know, when I graduated from college, and I talked to our kids a lot about this, as, you know, my daughters and the guys on the team, is a lot of times we don't know what we want to do. I was just going to college because that's what you were told to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I wanted to have options. I want to continue my education, but I actually graduated from college and still didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I got, my dad said, why don't you get your teacher credential? So I said, well, I'll keep going to school. And there was a freshman spot open at my alma mater at Bexar High. And when I went and coached the freshman team, I just said, this is really fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have many aspirations on Division One or college or high school. I just said, I want to be a coach because it was really fun. Now, that was the practice. So little do I know, that's still the favorite time. The practice is still the favorite time for coaches. Now, the recruiting and games and all that stuff that comes with it, now that stuff is a little harder.
Well, I'm listening to what you're saying, and on one level I'm saying, yeah, I mean, when you can work in the game of basketball and you love the game of basketball, that's a lot of fun. But then you said coaching the freshman team was a lot of fun, and I'm thinking, boy, trying to keep 14 and 15-year-old kids on schedule, on task, organized, executing in the game, not tripping over their own feet, dealing with the off-the-court emotions, freshman team must have been a little bit of a challenge.
It was definitely a challenge for me and for them. Because I was a young hothead coming out of college that thought he knew everything, so I wasn't quite as calm as I am now sitting on the sideline. So they kind of drove me crazy, and I would raise my voice real quick.
Well, we've all got to learn somewhere and cut the teeth. And I'm thinking, you know, as we talked about your dad and your background, how about now? Now that you are the leader of a program, that you've watched so many others, and, you know, we've talked, Coach Brown shared the tidbit that you ask a lot of questions and you listen a lot, and I can see that you've soaked up a lot of that basketball wisdom. But that relationship with your dad now, coach to coach, you have some moments even now where you say, hey, Dad, what'd you think about XYZ?
You have to pry it out of my dad. If you know my dad, he doesn't give me any advice. He calls and says something that he liked, you know, he'll say what he liked, what he didn't like, but he does, you know, sometimes I have to really ask him a lot of questions to get stuff out. He wants to stay in his lane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he, you know, I ask him from time to time, but it's more broad questions, not what play we're going to run.
Sure.
You know, who does he like on the team? What does he like that we're doing? What do you think we can do better as a group?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you think about this? You know, more of a broad generalized wisdom instead of, hey, give me a play to run against the zone.
Well, sure. Yeah. It sounds like you almost have to give him permission to share that input. Make sure that he knows you really want it.
But that's who he is.
Yeah.
You know, I would take it no matter if he just shoved it down my throat at halftime. If he came in at the locker room at halftime, I would listen to him. But that's just who he's always been as a father is. He's going to give you his advice, but he's not going to shove it down your throat.
Well, our signal goes strong into Bakersfield, so if he's listening right now, maybe he will show up at halftime against Cal and share a nugget or two. That's the next game, Wednesday night, the Cal Bears in Fresno, a 7 o'clock tip. We have 3 pairs of tickets to give away for that tonight. Only if you can come join us at Riley's Brew Pub in Clovis, 168 in Temperance. We're here till 7 o'clock. Come hang out with the coach. Congratulate him on his 7-2 start. Maybe you'll get some tickets heading back home. We'll keep it right here on 940 ESPN on the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back to the Coach Justin Hudson Show. We are live here at Riley's Brew Pub in Clovis. We'll be here next Thursday night as well. After that, we're moving back to the Elbow Room at Big Garden Village. Both restaurants, fantastic food, both owned by the same folks. And here at Riley's, we're here till 7 o'clock tonight. If you've never been to Riley's Brew Pub before, all you have to do is take the 168 to the Temperance Avenue exit, head north, and take a right. Go past the Golden Arches and find Riley's Brew Pub, where the burgers are even better, I'll take the liberty of saying. We're here till 7 o'clock tonight with Coach Justin Hudson. I'm just checking Twitter to see if anyone sent in their questions for the coach using that hashtag, AskHut. If you haven't yet, you've got the rest of the hour to do so. If you want to win those tickets to the Cal game Wednesday, you're going to have to come join us in person. I can see a lot of people have already put their names in. We have 3 pairs of tickets to that 7 o'clock Wednesday night battle, Fresno State hosting the Cal Bears out of the Pac-12. Coach, we talked a little bit about your background, your dad, the players you used to root for. Let's talk some more about this year's club that you have that's off to a 7-2 start. And already, you know, you go into it feeling you're a little thin. You don't have a lot of guys that you recruited. You have players you inherited. You got a couple guys sitting out for the year. Sometimes in practice you have to use those red shirts, if not one of your assistant coaches, to fill the scout team. So it's not like you had a ton of depth, and then you lose Deshaun Taylor. Yet, the resilience of this club, as we talked about, blows the doors off Long Beach State in an impressive performance last time out. How much different is the challenge going to be against Cal Wednesday night? And is there a team you've already played that maybe you'd say, Cal is fairly similar too.
The similarities, I'm not sure, but I know they can really score the basketball. They're young at spots. They have a senior point guard that's really good, and the rest of their spots, they're pretty young, but they're very, very talented. You know, it's a Pac-12 program, and they recruited well, so they have a bright future down the road. You know, right now they're struggling with consistency because they have young guys besides their point guard, but their point guard is a senior, and he's really good, and he leads them.
Well, and you have a little history with him. And of course, you came here to Fresno State from San Diego State, and we've seen Paris Austin in the Mountain West for Boise State before he transfers to Cal. You've seen how quick he is, how tough he is to stay in front of. Does that help at all to have scouted him so many times before, or is he a different player now with a year of development and now playing again?
Yeah, Paul, you're right. Familiarity always helps. It definitely helps that you kind of know his game. Now you go back and watch film and see if he's doing anything different. You know, as the players, if Deshaun was playing, maybe that would help because I know he probably played against Paris.
And that's who would be guarding him if Deshaun was
He would have been guarding him, and that would have been some more familiarity. But it's, you know, the really good players, you kind of know what they're going to do, but the hard part is stopping them.
Mm-hmm. So it's Cal and Fresno State Wednesday night. That's the 19th, 6 days away, 7 o'clock tip at the Save Mart Center. Boy, it was great to see a little bigger crowd the last game against Long Beach State. The football team's there at halftime. I know that helped a little bit. Did you feel a difference? I mean, there were some more bodies there, probably 1,000, 1,500 more than you have been drawing. Could you tell during the game that there were more people?
I could. You know, it was exciting. It was a nice atmosphere, and we want to keep that going.
Well, and I guess I should clarify, because the last time we were here, I was, you know, talking about that doubleheader basketball and wrestling, and you said that if 10,000 people showed up, you'd get on the wrestling mat. You said you wouldn't put the singlet on, but you would get on the wrestling mat. And someone thought that meant only for that night, but I said I interpreted it as the first time there's a crowd of 10,000 with Justin Hudson as the coach. After that, he'll get on the wrestling mat.
Yeah, I guess if it's still wrestling season.
Okay, all right. So that means the Bulldog fans have time. And maybe Wednesday night against Cal is the night to make that happen, a 7 o'clock start at the Save Mart Center. As you look at your team, you try to develop individuals and you try to develop as a team with the way your team is performing together. What's the next step, do you think? I mean, you guys have done a lot already and you've impressed a lot of people, myself included. But what's next? What are you hoping to see as far as a future development here in the very near future?
You're talking about this year or moving forward?
Well, let's start with this year, and then if you want to elaborate on the big picture long term, I'm sure folks would love to hear that too. But with this year's team, which is off to a 7-2 start, has an outstanding net, the new metric, not the RPI that's going to be used for the NCAA tournament selection, and some people doing brackets right now are saying, hey, with Fresno State 7-2 start, the teams they've played, they'd be a bubble team already or might be in. So you guys are doing a great job. So let's talk this year, and then after that, big picture.
Becoming more consistent this year.
All right.
You know, if you've watched our team, which you have, you've seen some spurts of brilliance where the ball is moving up the floor, you're moving around, you're making threes, you're attacking the basket, you're getting stops.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we can press and turn you over. So you've seen a lot of good things, but then you've also seen some tough shots, you know, some groans from the Save Mart Center, some silly turnovers, some defensive breakdown.
Right.
So right now we're not trying to reinvent the wheel in practice and put in a lot of new things. You know, there are some things that we're working on that we haven't done in the past. However, we're trying to just get better at winning basketball, taking care of the ball, rebounding it,
mm-hmm.
helping each other on defense, stay in front of your man, and then pushing the ball up the floor fast but not being out of control. You know, and making sure we're playing as a group and making the extra pass and seeing the extra pass. So every coach this time of year when you have this little break, you know, you're hoping that you don't get injuries. And you're working on yourself to get better because you got a few more games before conference play.
All right, so that is the short term. You're looking for consistency from this team and getting better at all the little things that in some cases you're already doing. What about long term? And is that something you even allow yourself to think about too much when you say, hey, 2, 3, 4 years down the road, this is what our program's going to look like, the schedule we're going to be playing, and where our seasons are going to end up?
Well, you're always monitoring your culture, and it's an overused word, and I took over a program that had good culture.
Right.
But I also took over a program where a lot of guys didn't play. So I don't know if they were involved in that culture. You know, and culture is really about the people that you're around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about that a lot, so you want to recruit good culture. And when you have a time to have this break, like we have, where you have, you're going to have four or five practices in a row, maybe you're not always working on Cal for the first 2 days. So I think what you want to look at our program is we're playing harder. And I think those guys need to understand how hard we need to play to win a championship, how hard we need to play to win in the Mountain West. You know, we're taking care of the ball and we're sharing it, you know, and the bigger things, you know, we're going to come to practice and work hard every day. You know, I think our guys, our saying has been the last 2 days is we're not going to come in here and keep doing the same things we did before. You know, we've obviously done some good things, but we have some stuff we have to do better. So them coming into practice and realizing that our coaching staff is not going to allow us just to keep doing the same things we were doing before. We're going to have to come in here and try to get better. And I think that's what you want to establish is when they're coming into practice and they know our expectations of our staff to say, okay, I have to bring it today and I have to listen and I have to get better at a few things. Yeah, I am good at some stuff, but that's not good enough. We're in here to get better.
The Bulldogs look to take another step in that direction Wednesday night, 7 o'clock against the Cal Bears. Hope we're going to see you there at the Save Mart Center. And we'd love to see you out here tonight. Riley's Brew Pub in Clovis is where the Coach Justin Hudson show is till 7 o'clock. We'll be here next Thursday as well. We have tickets to give away to that big game against Cal on Wednesday, so hurry up, join us. We'll talk some more about that matchup when we come back. Cal just beat San Diego State. How'd they do it? We'll talk to the coach about that. If you have a question for him, send it our way on Twitter. Use that hashtag, AskHut, H-U-T, AskHut, and we'll get it to him. We're back after this from Riley's Brew Pub in Clovis tonight on the home of the Bulldogs, 940 ESPN, the Bulldogs Sports Network. Welcome back to the Coach Justin Hudson Show. We are live at Riley's Brew Pub in Clovis here till 7 o'clock tonight. Talking Bulldog basketball with a coach who in his first year as the Bulldogs coach, his first year as a Division I head coach, is off to a 7-2 start and hosting a Pac-12 school Wednesday night. The Cal Bears will be here, 7 o'clock tip at the Save Mart Center. Hopefully you already have your tickets. If you don't, you can win some here tonight at Riley's Brew Pub. You've got half an hour to get down here and enter to win. We're giving them away at 7 o'clock. If you can't make it here, you can still get your question in for the coach using Twitter and that hashtag AskHut, H-U-T. So, Coach Hutt, we're talking about the Cal Bears. They have the Boise State transfer, Paris Austin, who's from the East Bay originally. He's their leading scorer at about 14 a game, lightning quick guy. San Diego State has some quick guards, too. You look at Devin Watson, and, I mean, he's one of those guys that I say I could never stay in front of that guy. I don't know how anybody does. What happened, though, when Cal played San Diego State that maybe gives you some clues as to how your team's going to have to play Wednesday night to get that sixth straight win?
It was a fun game to watch and a lot of scoring. I think, what was it, 89-83?
It was up there, yeah.
You know, and they were trading baskets. Both teams played man. Both teams played zone. And it seemed like nothing worked defensively for either team. You know, they both executed really well. You know, a lot of three-point shots made for Cal in the clutch. You know, so they run their stuff pretty good. Their point guard's good. So we're going to have to, we have to start by defending them. If we got to take the ball out of the basket all night, then it's going to be a long night. If we can get some stops and get out in transition, I think that's where San Diego State made their hay a little bit too, is they took advantage of Cal's transition defense a little bit.
And it sounds like perimeter defense is going to be big for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they had some big guys that weren't playing as much that popped out and hit a couple jump shots also. So they had four big guys and they played a little bit of everybody and some stayed inside and some popped out and hit jump shots. So we got to make sure we make the adjustments when they come in.
Certainly a big crowd at the Save Mart Center would help Wednesday night, 7 o'clock against Cal. And we are giving away tickets here tonight if you can get here before 7 o'clock. One thing I almost hate to ask about this because I feel like I'm projecting it to happen, but you know sooner or later it is going to happen. You guys haven't had to deal with really bad foul trouble yet. You've had a little bit here and there. But I know you've coached those games where it's just those nights. And in this league, I'm sure you've seen them where there's 55 combined fouls between the two teams, and you're saying, okay, my walk-ons are playing. When that happens, what are you guys going to have to do? Do you have to play a little different lineup? Do you have to have some guys who have the versatility to slide to a different position? Maybe a bigger lineup, smaller lineup. How many variations of that do you have in the eventuality that bad foul trouble finally presents itself?
Great question. And we did have some in Anaheim.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
There was a few times Braxton had some fouls and Deshaun had foul trouble, and it was tough. But we were a little deeper at that point in time, so it didn't affect us.
Yeah, now Deshaun's fouled out of every game, basically.
Correct. Right? Correct. So you see, we got to back off some aggression a little bit defensively. We got to make sure we're always preaching defend without fouling. And I think we do a decent job at that, and that's something we have to get better and better at as we go. And you hit it right on the nose. You got to have a lot of adjustments. What you're going to do if you have to go big? What if this guy gets in foul trouble here? What if you have, what would you run? How would you guard certain things? Would you go zone now? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different scenarios you got to have for adjustments to prepare yourself for foul trouble, all while saying we have to stay out of foul trouble, otherwise we're going to be in trouble.
That's why they call it foul trouble. Absolutely. He's Coach Justin Hudson. We're here at Riley's Brew Pub in Clovis till 7 o'clock tonight. Taking your questions on Twitter. If you can't make it in person, use that hashtag AskHut, and we'll pass it on. Wednesday's game against Cal isn't the end of the homestand. The Bulldogs will play the 22nd at home against Tennessee Martin, and then they'll finish that seven-game homestand on the 29th, another Saturday afternoon game against Utah Valley. All getting ready for conference play, which starts January 2nd when the Bulldogs visit San Jose State. I know that as much as you're focused on your own team, you do have that corner of your eye watching what else is happening in the Mountain West. No one's surprised with what Nevada is doing so far. But what about the rest of the league? Is there anything that's maybe gotten your attention a little bit that you didn't expect, or you just said, oh, okay, we better be prepared for that?
Not much. I don't get too high or too low. I do watch sometimes, get on ESPN, or I see a game that I'm watching, but normally you're watching for the next opponent, or you're watching your own guys. You're self-scouting. If you have time to watch film, you're probably watching your own guys, or you're watching the next opponent. I don't have much time to sit back home and watch basketball of somebody I'm not going to play. But you do get on ESPN and you look at the scores, or a conference team comes on and you're able to watch them. And you just don't put a lot of stock into it. I mean, obviously Nevada's good. Obviously San Diego State's very talented. New Mexico's very talented. But you don't put a lot of stock into it, because last year New Mexico struggled a lot early in the preseason. And then they went on a string, and they were one of the best teams in the conference for the last half of the conference. Same thing with us at San Diego State. We were so up and down. So it's truly a journey. And I don't get too excited over the wins or the losses. I don't think you can draw a lot of conclusions right now besides Nevada's experienced and they're talented. But you just have to try to get prepared, because when you get into the Mountain West Conference, every game's going to be tough. And those guys are the same level as you are. We're not playing Big West teams anymore. We're playing the Mountain West Conference, and we got some really good coaches and some talented players in that conference.
And some tough venues, some of them at altitude, and all those things change the dynamic a little bit.
I say it like Tark, though. The good thing we play inside. Isn't that what he said with altitude?
Yeah.
Don't worry
about
it, fellas.
Yeah.
We play inside.
And half of them bought it, too. That was the beauty of it. Before we take the break, since we're talking about watching games, I guess I should probably ask you what everybody else in Riley's Brew Pub tonight probably has an answer to. Where are you watching the game Saturday? 12:30, Fresno State, Arizona State.
I will be at home on my couch excited. Probably have the coaching staff over if somebody's not recruiting. It's obviously if you have an afternoon off, you're going to recruit. Want to make sure we practice at a different time. So I got to check with Coach with Marvin Adams to make sure we're not practicing at that time, because it's going to be exciting to be there and watch it.
And you mentioned recruiting. How much does stuff like that actually become part of the conversation in recruiting? Like if you're going after a guy, do you ever throw out what Jeff Tedford and that football team are doing, or what they have done?
Yeah, we do. We do. We're proud to be a Bulldog. And we talk about, a lot of the sports, in our education and being bold and, the great education you can get here and the wonderful people in the Valley, and you look at our football team and the crowd that shows up, in the red wave. So yes, you talk about it a lot. More if people know. If they mention it, then you can really run with it. If they're not a big football fan, then you just kind of, you say it and then let it die.
I know I keep riffing here and I'm going too long without taking a commercial break, but since we're talking about that, just one more thing came to mind. I don't think I've asked you this yet, but if I have, I apologize. Since you've watched that football team a little bit, is there one guy you've seen that you said, I'd be curious to get him on the basketball court and see what he can do?
The wide receiver.
Keyshawn?
Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah.
I'd love to see what he can do on the basketball court, because he sure is athletic and he makes plays.
Well, I've talked to him about that. He said kind of like what you said. He said he's a passer. He said he has good vision. He sets up his teammates. I said, you mean you can't shoot? And he laughed a little bit and said that he likes to, you know, if he's going to shoot, he might as well just take it to the rack.
But we need a backup point guard if Deshaun's going to be out for a while. So maybe after this ball game, we can give me his number. I can give him a call.
You know who else? You'd be surprised by this one. Jeff Allison, defense player of the year, the middle linebacker. He said that everyone's always underestimating his hoop game, and he's looking for a chance to prove it. So I don't, he might have the NFL draft to worry about if he decides to come out.
Yeah, I would hate for him to get hurt out there with us. That's around it. You know, football players, they always think they could play basketball.
Oh, yeah.
That's happened for a lot of time, and a lot of them can.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, they don't love to talk about anything besides how good they are in basketball. But you don't find many basketball players talking about they could play football.
No, you don't. You know, Coach Tedford wanted Terrell Carter to come out for football this year. That would have been interesting.
That really would have been. And where he would have played.
He would have been a tackle, offensive tackle. But he looks good in the front row of your games. You ever see him over there?
I do. I do see him over there. He's hard. He's not easy to miss, you know.
Especially he's right across from you, right where you're standing, with a million-dollar smile. So there's one more reason to be there, Cal. I'm sure big TC will be there against Cal Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Come hang out with us. We've got another 20-plus minutes at Riley's Brew Pub. We're giving away those tickets at 7 o'clock tonight. He's Coach Justin Hudson. It's the Justin Hudson Show on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back to the Coach Justin Hudson Show. We are live at Riley's Brew Pub in Clovis, where, of course, they have all their craft beer. And Harold just told me the raspberry iced tea is very good as well. So it comes highly recommended. Here at Riley's Brew Pub in Clovis, they've got a pretty diverse menu you can take a bite out of as well. If you miss us here tonight, we're back here at Riley's next Thursday night from 6 to 7. At 7 o'clock tonight, we'll be giving away 3 pairs of tickets to Fresno State's home game against Cal. Big basketball game at the Save Mart Center Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. The Cal Bears, former Boise State Bronco Paris Austin, their head coach, Wyking Jones, invading the Save Mart Center to take on a 7-2 Bulldog squad that'll be looking for a 6th straight win. If you have a question for Coach Justin Hudson, use Twitter, that hashtag AskHut. We'll make sure it comes our way. I imagine you're familiar with Coach Jones over there at Cal, some of his background. He was on Rick Pitino's staff at Louisville for a while before he joined Conzo Martin out there at Cal. But way back in the day, I think he was in the Mountain West for a while, wasn't he?
He was at New Mexico.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've known him for a while. It's a small... The business is small. I mean, you went 330 schools.
Yeah.
Of 4 coaches, it's 1,200. You can put them in the Save Mart Center, and they wouldn't even come close to making a dent in one side. So if you're in this long enough, you get to know the guys, and you're traveling around with them, you're recruiting against them.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
You know, you say that, recruiting against them. And, you know, you've been a top-notch recruiter for a long time, long before you became a head coach. So when you're on one of those road trips, and there's 10 other guys at the game for that one player, how do you interact with those other coaches who are trying to recruit the same guy that you're going after?
It depends on how much I like them. Some of them are friends. We'll sit there and talk about it, maybe go get something to eat afterwards, and we don't really discuss the recruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them I don't know very well, and I'll sit in my corner of the gym and watch the game. So it all depends. Just relationships depend on who you know. You know, you try not to take it personal. Sometimes it gets to be dirty pool where people are saying bad things about your program, or, you know, most people are just positive about their program.
Right.
But sometimes you hear, you know, through the grapevine that somebody says something bad about your program or yourself, and, you know, but a lot of times that doesn't help. So you just try to stay in your lane and promote Fresno State.
Have you ever caught anybody pulling a dirty trick, like maybe just dropping some information that was less than accurate, or trying to, you know, the old cartoons where the arrow is pointing right and the guy flips it around to point left? You ever have any of those kind of moments?
All the time. All the time people are saying stuff that's not accurate. You're just hoping the people that you're recruiting are intelligent enough to understand when you tell them.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes people in the recruiting world, they just want to hear what they want to hear.
Well, and a lot of people like to hear what they want to hear. And I was asked earlier, I was on with Christopher Gabriel on his show, and he was asking about your team, and this was just my observation, so please set me straight if I'm off. But one of the things I said, that I've noticed in how you coach these guys is you tell them the truth. You're not bashing them over the head with the truth and trying to make them feel bad about the truth, but you're telling them what the standard is, and if they're not achieving that standard, you're reminding them what the standard is. But what I also see you doing is letting them know that you believe they're capable of achieving that standard. And maybe that's a little off from how you see it, so I'd love to have you set me straight and maybe just explain how you handle that balance of no, that's not good enough with, hey, you can be good enough if you keep working, and I believe you're going to get there.
Well, you practice what you preach. You tell the guys it's time for them to get better every day. They got to come in and look to get better, and you have to evaluate yourself after every practice to say, was the message that I gave them in the right tone? Did it hit home? Was that for me? Was it through frustration? I think you're extremely accurate in what we're trying to do. Yeah, we're definitely letting them know what the standard is. We're letting them know we're very disappointed if you're not working hard to reach that standard. It's one thing not to reach it, but it's another thing not to work hard to reach it. And I'm probably not as nice as you make it seem all the time. But if you're not, you know, then you better make sure you follow up with that I do believe that you can reach it. I'm not trying to say that I'm pissed off that you're not. Mm-hmm. It's because if I'm pissed off, I wouldn't be mad if I didn't care so much. But right. I do believe that you can do better. You know, I know it doesn't always sound that way in practice, but that's where we're coming from as a staff.
And I'm sure there are some parallels to parenting. You're a parent. Sure, you have to deal with some similar dynamics. I mean, you know, 20-year-old young men aren't the same as your daughters, I'm sure.
Well, expectations are expectations. And, you know, when you're trying to get them to reach expectations, you know, you're letting them know they can do it. You're trying to build confidence. You're holding them accountable. But then you're also, at the end of the day, you're letting them know that we still care about you. So it's, you know, it's only a test, or it's a basketball game, and it doesn't define who you are. You know, it's better coming on to the next play, and let's try the best we can.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure you've got some Christmas shopping to do for your family, but what about for you? Is there something if you look at it in a basketball world, is there something that, you know, Santa could get for you to the T that you say, yep, that's the top of my list?
Healthy. Stay healthy. Have our team stay healthy. Family stay healthy. You know, our friends stay healthy. You know, some wins. You know, usually I'm a dad, so I'm an old guy now, so you get those ties that are the wrong colors. You know, hey, baby, our team is red and blue. You have to get me a red tie or a blue tie. I'm not going to wear the green tie out there. But, you know, that's a joke. You know, like the Cosby Show, I watch a lot of that. You get those ties, you get those Christmas gifts. You can't re-gift them. You got to put them on or you upset everybody. But, you know, if everybody can stay healthy in your family and on the basketball team, I'd be happy.
Would you wear a Cliff Huxtable sweater if they got one?
Maybe inside. It is a little nippy here in the valley. It's not that San Diego weather, so you need to put a sweater on.
I got to wear one of my birthday presents the other day for the first time because I finally, you know, found them again. Somebody gave me some Derek Carr socks.
Oh, wow.
He got his face on the socks. So made me wonder, what else did I put his face on?
Derek Carr socks. How about that?
He's playing his tail off right now.
Yes, he is.
And, you know, some people have asked me about this because a couple years ago when the Raiders didn't know where they were going, I said, hey, why not Fresno? You know, there's so much history. So many of the Raider fans live in the Valley anyway. You know from Bakersfield. How many Raider fans did you grow up around?
Yeah.
Especially when they were down in L.A. for those years in the 80s. I said, this is the one area that's always been Raider fans, so why not bring them to Fresno? And of course, they chose Vegas, but now they're looking for someone for 2019. So I said, hey, why not Fresno? You know, maybe Fresno State can get some money to help beef up Bulldog Stadium out of the Raiders. It could be a win-win.
It would be great to add a Raider here. But we talked about this before. It's all about money, right?
It is. And it sounds like it's up in the air right now. It might be the perfect storm.
Yeah.
Do you think it would be a distraction at all for student-athletes like your players if you had an NFL team in town for a year?
No. I think we would enjoy it. You know, we usually take Sundays off anyway. So they can go check out a Raider game on Sunday. That would be great.
All right. And then Derek Carr could come out and tell you that he's a basketball player, and you could say,
yeah, he'd be a good basketball player. I'm sure he would.
That's what he told Kobe Bryant. I don't know if Kobe bought it. It's break time again. It's the Coach Justin Hutson Show. You're running out of time if you want to come win these tickets. Or if you have a question for the coach, on Twitter, the hashtag AskHut. We'll pass it on. The rest of the program coming your way from Riley's Brew Pub in Clovis after this on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back to the Coach Justin Hutson Show, flying towards 7 o'clock here at Riley's Brew Pub in Clovis, 168 in Temperance, if you haven't been here to experience the uniqueness of Riley's Brew Pub. Glad you're here tonight. Well, I'm not going to say who that is. I don't want her to get mobbed by autograph seekers, but there's another Fresno State coach in the house right now, along with Coach Justin Hutson, whose Bulldog basketballers are trying to put together their sixth straight win. How about that? Going for win number six in a row. Wednesday night against the Cal Bears, 7 o'clock at the Save Mart Center. We've got a few more minutes with the coach, so if you have a question for him, throw it our way on Twitter with that hashtag, AskHut. At the top of the hour, we're going to give away three pairs of tickets to that Wednesday night 7 o'clock matchup with Cal, the Bulldog faithful who are here at Riley's Brew Pub. Let's talk a little bit more about some of these young men on your team, Coach, because I'm sure in a lot of cases you're still getting to know them. I mean, you haven't been here all that long. I know you put a lot of time in with them. Do you ever get through a practice and say, wow, I didn't know that guy did that, or I didn't know that about him? How often are you learning new things about these guys you're leading?
You usually do that when you're on the road.
Oh, yeah.
You spend some time in the airport, maybe in the hotel. You know, you chat with a guy. You know, when you get to practice, most of the time I'm pretty focused on the job at hand.
Sure.
You know, I might chat with them a little bit before about school or something that's going on. But, you know, what I've found is I got to invite them up to the office or I got to get them out to lunch, because that's when you learn something about them. And, you know, the young men, they don't care what you know till they know that you care. And we never do that well enough. We're always going to come up short. You're always worrying about recruiting, or you got to watch the next film, or you're ready for practice, or you're trying to get the guy to do something better on the floor. But the more experience you have is, once you maybe have that conversation with them or you go out and get a bite to eat with them, then you find that maybe they're doing what you want them to do on the floor just a little bit better.
You're investing some of that quality time. And we're hoping the Bulldog fans will invest some time Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Fresno State and Cal at the Save Mart Center. I just remember what I forgot to ask you. I believe we were right here in the same corner of Riley's Brew Pub last Thursday night, and we were talking about the Fresno State basketball music video that was going to be coming out soon, or at least the song. Is the song done? Are they close?
You know, I just heard about it. I don't really know any details. I don't know any details. I don't have any updates. I just heard about it, so I'm sure it will debut soon.
Because I'm just thinking, you know, we just talked about what you want for Christmas. I'm thinking all the Bulldog basketball fans want for Christmas is to hear that song next Thursday night when we're doing the Justin Hutson Show at Riley's Brew Pub.
Well, I hear the lyrics are really good, so you might not be able to understand them. So I think we need to get, you know, they're like most rap songs, you can't understand them, but they're, you know, I got a dialogue of it that's written down, so when I can look at the words and listen to it, it has a lot of nice shout outs, you know, for the tenure here. The program that we have here in the wonderful city that we have here.
All right. Well, I know sooner or later we are going to hear it, and we'll make sure that all of you hear it as well. Do they have a title for it yet?
They do. I don't know it.
Okay. All right. And it's New Williams and Tim Shelton who are working on this?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
Do they have any other collaborators? Anyone else trying to jump in the mix?
I think it's just those two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know if Laz Rojas was trying to slip in a little Brazilian Portuguese in there somewhere?
I didn't hear it.
Okay. It's different from Azorean Portuguese, so some of our, you know, our longtime Valley Bulldog fans might not get the translation there. We're getting close to the end of the program here. Serious business against Cal on Wednesday night. What's the number one priority when you look at that matchup that you guys are going to have to handle maybe early in that game that you have to be prepared for, even if it's something you have to adjust to or deal with on the fly, but the biggest thing that you have to be prepared for when the Bears get here Wednesday night?
Transition defense. I think they can get out and run and get open shots, and then they'll crash the board from there. No, they have really good guards. They're pretty balanced. They have some really good guards. They have a couple big guys that can step out and shoot threes. So I think we got to really limit their three-point makes. You know, if we can do that, if we can test threes and can limit their shots from there, and then they miss them and we can rebound them, then we can get out and run, and I think we'll be okay.
You know, you say big guys hitting threes, and I'm thinking about your last game. And, you know, we saw flashes of Nate Grimes last year that he has a smooth touch on his jump shot, that he has the confidence to take it. But in that game against Long Beach State, he attempted not one but two threes, made one for the first time in his Bulldog career, and afterwards you said, yeah, he's a good shooter. He has the green light to do that. How much more can that become part of his game over time as he develops, and how much more dangerous can that make him if he's able to knock down that shot consistently?
Well, if he can shoot him at the right times.
Right.
You know, he doesn't, his light is not quite as green as Braxton's.
Well, whose is, right?
Right.
Would
yeah.
yours be as green
no.
as Braxton's?
No, it would not. It would not, you know, but, you know, if his feet are set, you know, and he's rebounding the ball like he's supposed to, and he's playing inside and out, and his feet are set, then he's going to be able to try a couple. You know, I think he shot two, and I didn't like the second one. And he said, well, man, I made the first one. I said, well, you retired on the first, for the second one.
Yeah.
He said, don't shoot a tired three. Move the ball till you get back in shape, and then get your feet set, and then you'll be ready to shoot it. But, you know, you're not going to come off and just fire it like we're Steve Kerr out there. But he can if his feet are set. I have a lot of confidence in Nate.
Well, and I'm sure we'll have many more occasions to talk about him and some of these other individuals on the team as the season goes on. We're back here next Thursday night from 6 to 7 with Coach Justin Hudson. Anything else you're hoping for from this fan base? I know you want to see more people show up. What coach doesn't? But anything that the fans can do to help your team or help this program?
Just more people show up. I mean, this is a conference with great fan bases.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been out in the community here a lot, you know, and I hear a lot of good things. But it's, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? You know, you hear, well, if they schedule it, we'll come. Okay, if they're winning, we'll come. Well, you know, if you come, a lot of that stuff happens. If you can get a home court advantage, you can recruit better players.
No doubt.
If you're packed out and you can still show that we're getting 10, 11,000 people a game, then people want to come play here.
Yep.
And, you know, we're going to be a good defensive team. And if you have a great crowd and fans are loud, it always helps with that.
Well, you guys are winning, and you have one of the biggest games on your schedule Wednesday night, Cal Bears, so hopefully the crowd will respond. Coach, thanks for the hour, and I look forward to seeing you at the Save Mart Center.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, that's Coach Justin Hudson here at Riley's Brew Pub in Clovis. We're back here next Thursday from 6 to 7. Thanks for listening on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield.
Live from the Elbow Room, the Justin Hudson Coaches Show has been brought to you by California Business Machines, by Madera Auto Center, Suncrest Bank, the Elbow Room, Barrier Roofing, A-plus Signs, by Mega Prints, and by Fashion Furniture across from River Park. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Bulldog Sports Network.